National Finance Committee regular session meeting on Tuesday, March 26th, 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. It is now 8:39 Eastern Time as we begin. We have quorum. Would you please take the roll, Mr. Secretary?
Okay. Please answer up when you hear your name. Paul DiRienzo. Maybe you're on mute, Paul DiRienzo.
Yeah, I was muted. Sorry,
okay.
I'm here.
Lyndon Foley. Lyndon Foley. Okay. Kamau Harris.
I'm here.
Christina Huggins.
Present.
R. Paul Martin here. Darlene Pagano.
Here.
Myla Reason.
I'm here.
Minerva Sanders.
Present.
Susan Young.
Present.
Okay. You have eight, and that's a quorum.
Thank you. Did Paul DiRienzo say he was here?
Yes, I'm here. I'm here.
Okay.
I was muted for a second. Sorry, didn't know I was muted.
All right.
Madam Chair?
Yes, Chair,
this is Susan. Did Lyndon Foley say he's here?
Yes, he did.
No.
Great. Didn't hear.
I am here.
Lyndon,
I am here.
You're now
here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
Okay, then you have nine, and that's everybody who's currently here.
Yeah. Okay. Are there any excused absences? I have not heard of any.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Madam Chair, we need to approve an agenda.
That comes before excused absences?
Absolutely. Otherwise, how would you have excused absences if you didn't have that on the agenda?
All right, R. Paul, thank you very much.
I would suggest just a motion to approve the agenda. It has to be read out. The public one has to be read out so everybody hears it.
All right. Well, here we go and decide, folks, if there's anything you object to. There will be I'll start at the top. We've already done the call to order and the roll call by the secretary. The agenda approval for the open portion of the meeting, 5 minutes. And then we do the excuse, ask for any excused absences known. We will identify timekeepers, then approve the minutes of the March 12th, 2024 meeting, 5 minutes. I'm asking for some reports back from the LSBs, the KPFK LSB progress on the election of the new treasurer, and WPFW, where are they on their budget review and approval process? We have some reports back, and that is National Finance Committee items that were already presented to the open session of the PNB at the last meeting, and I'll give you just a report on what happened with those. We have the ED with us, and we have a Q&A report and Q&A with her, 15 minutes. Old business, I have none listed. New business will be a review of the first quarter 2024 combined monthly consolidated financials led by Stephanie for 30 minutes, and then we'll move into executive session. That is the public agenda. Do I hear?
Madam Chair, I move approval, but I offer two amendments. Susan here.
Yes.
Okay. So Susan Young is moving to adopt the agenda. Okay.
Yes. And I'm also moving to make two amendments. The first amendment is I suggest we postpone consideration of the minutes until the next meeting because as we heard from a number of us, we didn't find them. They may have been sent. We didn't find them, and it would be useful to review them before they are considered. So I would ask that that be postponed until the next meeting. And I know we need to ask, are there objections? The other one is a correction. Myla spells her last name R-E-S-O-N. So under KPFK, LSB, Progress on Election of New Treasurer, it's Reason.
All right. Thank you for the correction. Let me just ask, has everybody been able to find their minutes that was sent to them by R. Paul on the NFC email list yesterday?
Okay, Madam Chair, this is Minerva Sanders.
Yes.
I do not have the information, and it's been identified that I'm not part of the group. So just let me know that I don't have the minutes or the other information.
And Madam Chair, I don't find them. This is Susan Young. I don't find them. So I have, regardless of whether they're here, I haven't had a chance to read them in advance of this meeting.
R. Paul, may I ask, are you able to send Minerva a set of the...
Yes, I can. If we're postponing this, I can do that after the meeting. And yeah, we can do that after the meeting.
Madam Chair, may I be recognized?
Go ahead, Myla.
Yeah, there's a motion on the table, and I think it should be approved. I agree that we should postpone adoption of the.
Myla,
I agree with the
first minutes of the first words of the sentence, asking if anyone has an objection to postponing the approval of the minutes of March 12th. Any objections to postponing? Hearing none.
Hold. Okay. So it's all right. So we're striking that from the agenda.
Tonight, yes. Are you caught up, R. Paul?
Yeah, I have that, yes.
Okay, thank you. All right. For 5 minutes, we have a report.
Madam Chair?
We didn't do timekeepers. Is that what you're going to tell me?
Madam Chair, the motion on the floor is to adopt the agenda, and I've got a couple of things on this.
The agenda was just postponed.
No, you can't postpone. Then there's no meeting. No, we just postponed the minutes. Approval of minutes was postponed.
Okay.
Stricken from the agenda. We haven't gotten to the items, and now there won't be that item. So that's stricken from the agenda. What I have is one preliminary items, 5 minutes. And could I suggest that these things each be a separate item instead of preliminary items, just, you know, one, call to order, two, roll call, C, you know, three, excused absences, D, four, timekeepers, and then go on and, you know, change the numbers for everything after that.
All right, R. Paul, I copied this from the PNB template, but we could do it otherwise. I'll be happy to make everything, what should we say, 2 minutes? I could do that.
Well, we could make things, there's no time on them, and since we've done some of it already, you know, worry about that next time.
Okay.
So that's all right, so I guess I'm making an amendment, and I have to type with one hand when I do that. Okay, and I got to copy and paste, so I have this and remember what I was doing. And there we go. Okay. And then I also have some others. Let me get into that. And number five, before we renumber everything, number five is a report back, NFC items. It says name. So should somebody's name be in there?
Well, I was going to ask somebody, some other director to do it, but I didn't get to that. So do please put my name on there.
Okay, let me put your name in there. Okay, then we have new business, nine new business, and it's the first quarter. Why don't we just make first quarter 2024 number nine, or, you know, its own item instead of new business? Because if you have new business, you know, all sorts of things could come up. That's what it's for. It's sort of a catch-all. But that would be a definite item, and I think that deserves its own item number. So could we just make...
Can we move that up to right after the ED report and make it the new number eight?
Okay. After the ED report.
It's number seven. So we'll make
ED report, and then we put that in there. Okay, so that would be
the new,
I don't know what the numbers
is,
will come out to, but that'll be after the ED report.
Yes,
old
sir.
Business. Well, I'm not going to get to that part. Then you would have nine would be new business, which we may or may not have any. And then I would say the thing, instead of motion to move into, just move into executive session time certain 9:45.
I will write the agenda with those template modifications as you suggested, Paul, next time. Thanks for setting it up this time.
Okay, so those are my various amendments.
Okay, that's fine. We're back up to excused absences.
Well, see if there's any objection to that.
As Paul mentored me in ways to improve how the agenda is set up, does anyone have any objection to my agreeing to those motions? I'll call them motions from Paul. Any objection? Okay, so the agenda is touched up with no objections.
And now we vote on, see if there's objection to the agenda as amended.
I'm sorry, what was the first word of that sentence?
Please just ask if there's objection to the to adopting the agenda as amended.
All right. So since we've accepted the amendment, any objection to the open portion of this agenda as amended? Okay, no objections. This is our agenda for the open session. And now I'm going to go back to excuse absences. We have nine people on the call, and I believe we currently have nine members. Is that are we fully attending, Paul, all members?
That's everybody who's left. Should there be an announcement about why there are nine members today?
I thought we did that last meeting. Perhaps not. Let me then say that the board of the committee has accepted the resignation of Tim Kaufman as a treasurer at the KPFK LSB, which means she will automatically then be giving up her seat as treasurer on the NFC.
Yes.
And
okay, so Madam Chair, this is Susan.
Yes,
I may
Susan.
Not have heard it correctly. But Kim has, and then there will be a report from the board, so perhaps we can
I'm not hearing everything you're saying. I'm sorry.
Somebody's mic is open and people are talking over each other and you can't hear what they're saying.
Okay, can you hear me now? Can you hear me now?
Yes.
But there's still somebody open. There's an office conversation going
Paul,
on in the back room.
Paul, let me do it, okay? Everyone needs to mute themselves unless they are one of the speakers at the moment. Can everybody do that on their keypads? Susan, you're in a house with other people. Is that correct?
Yes, it is correct.
Okay, so let me just say, Paul, that's probably what we're hearing. So, Susan, let's give it another go.
Thank you very much. What I wanted to say is that item number four, there is a whole report from KPFK about Tim's resignation. I suggest that he just at the very beginning.
Your Wi-Fi is going out, Susan.
Okay, but Kim has resigned. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Can you hear me? Okay, great.
You keep mentioning something about item four, and Myla is up to talk about that. Is that something you're objecting to? All right, we may have lost Susan just on sound, not really, but not, she hasn't dropped off. Let's see. Okay, where were we? We're at number four, are we not? Identify timekeepers. Is there anyone willing to give us the time, you know, keep us on time? If that's possible, by following the times given on the agenda, is there anyone able to do that?
This is Lyndon. I'm able and willing.
And willing. That's the good part, Lyndon. Thanks. Lyndon, thank you for timekeeping for items. Now, jumping ahead to number four. Not really jumping, but we're catching up. Number four. Myla, if you can give your report on the progress on the election of a new KPFK treasurer.
Okie dokie. Can you hear me?
Very well.
Great. Okay, here goes. I'm getting some feedback. At any rate, let me continue. I believe it was March 14th when Kim Kaufman, the treasurer for the KPFK local station board, emailed every member of the KPFK local station board tendering her resignation as our treasurer. Subsequent to that, I put a notification up on KPFTX that we would be electing a new treasurer at the next meeting of the KPFK Local Station Board, which is the second Sunday in April. I'm not sure of the date. I'm sure that it's the second Sunday in April. It might be the 15th. I don't have that right in front of me. At any rate, our chair, Tatanka Bricka, is sending out a reminder to all of our members of our local station board that nominations will be open for a treasurer at that meeting. And that's my progress report. I did speak. Who? Susan, is that you? Oh, you're breaking up and I'm speaking right now. Okay. At any rate, I just wanted to add that I did speak with Terry Goodman, who has served as the chair of tellers for KPFK local station board elections, as well as elections throughout the network. And he has agreed that the steps that we have taken so far are proper in terms of providing notice for new election for our treasurer.
Thank you, Myla. All right. Is Kamau? Yes, Kamau is here. Kamau, would you just give us an update on the process of the WPFW budget review so that you can bring it to the NFC?
Absolutely. We emailed the management requesting about four items of information, received three of them. We're still awaiting on one final item. As soon as we receive that, we will have our finance committee meeting on the first of April. It's the 8th of April. We'll bring that to committee, vote on it there, and on the 10th of April, we'll have it at the LSB for vote, and we'll have it ready for the committee after that.
Sorry, I'm talking while muted. So you're saying that the 10th, you believe it'll be ready to turn in, and then we meet on the 16th, the third Tuesday of April.
So provided it passes the LSB's vote, then yes, it'll be available. It's all conditional on voting process, but yes, that's the intent.
All right. All right. We'll check in. I'll check in with Stephanie on that to let her know what's what. I believe she's here, but I'll do it anyway. Item number five. The PNB meeting was just this past Thursday, the 21st. I presented our motions that the WBAI deficit budget from the 2023 NFC formation was presented to the PNB, and with the explanation that the NFC is passing it to the PNB, and I believe we spoke about it in executive session. And the other thing that we had done, and this is the 2024 group, we presented the budget to the PNB as passed by the NFC, and the PNB accepted it with no objections. So that is what happened to our work when it got to the PNB. Any questions? All right. That leaves Stephanie. Are you here and at your phone?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so what we'll go to now is your ED report, and then we will move right into the first quarter monthly consolidated financials. Excuse me one moment. Minerva, do you have the monthly consolidated financials?
I'm checking now for it.
Okay, Stephanie, did you send that out yourself, or did you send it to our Paul for distribution?
I send it to you and our Paul because I don't have access to mail things out to the committees.
That's true. I'm sorry. I forgot that. And I sent it again this afternoon, so it should be near the top of your email. And we need a copy sent to Minerva directly. Who can do that?
I'm looking it up right now.
Thank you, R. Paul.
And, oh, I don't know if I must have your address in here somewhere. Okay, I'll find it. Actually, if one of you who has her address immediately could send it to her, that would be good, because I'm going to have to look this up. And
I can send it over, R. Paul.
Okay, you said it then, yeah.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you for the cooperation. All right, Stephanie, I turn it over to you for the ED report. And timekeeper, we're giving up to 15 minutes on this.
Okay. A four-page document was sent to everybody that basically kind of highlights what we'll be talking about this evening. The payables to date, and this is across the network, total approximately $1.3 million. The exact dollar amount is $1,325,922. Some of those are very past due and others are recent. So we're just kind of putting everything together as H payables. The loan information that we have, which is the FJC loan and then our SBA EIDL, the payoff amount for the FJC loan is $2.5 million. The payoff for the SBA EIDL is $2.7 million. We have interest that is due on the FJC loan of roughly $517,000 and interest that is due for the SBA EIDL of roughly $114,000. We, because of the sale of the Los Angeles building, we have the council and myself have been having conversations with FJC regarding the terms of the loan so we can move that building from collateral and revising the loan agreement itself. So we've been working successfully with them. The SBA EIDL is, we've been working with them and provided all the information that we needed to remove the lien from the Los Angeles property, only to have them say that it had been moved to another department. So our general counsel is working with them to get all of that paperwork worked out as well, so we can have two fresh loan documents for both of those organizations. Because there has been some delays in dealing with the loans, particularly with the SBA EIDL, the individuals who are purchasing the Los Angeles building have allowed us to, or suggested, and we agree to it, to extend the close of escrow to April 28th, which is ample time for us to figure out the logistics of these two loans. As far as the Los Angeles building, KPFK has been broadcasting from our temporary location in Glendale, California since March 20th, and we've had great support from volunteers and staff members at KPFK and also at the national office who have helped make that possible. There, you know, have been a couple of glitches, of course, as the broadcasting has continued, but it's been working extremely well, so. We are also renting another larger space that's on the same floor as the two temporary offices that we have, and we're going to use that for some additional storage and also workspace for the archives department and also additional space for the membership department. We're also happy to announce that we have casualty insurance for everyone. It was purchased through the Hartford, and that is now active. So I know at some of the stations, they've been actively allowing people back into the building, and it's been extremely helpful for that. One of the things that we've been putting together, and I'm hoping that there'll be individuals that are interested in finance, not only with this committee, but people that are listening to the call, that will volunteer to be part of some working teams that are being formed that will include volunteers, key personnel from the stations, and other Pacifica personnel as necessary to assist in various areas. We have an underwriting working team that is going to help recommend potential underwriters and sponsors. And what we're hoping to do is they can just help elevate the requests that we have and provide the support and brainstorming with our local stations for financial support, grants, or sponsorships for any sort of underwriting that may that we are looking for. The PMB passed a motion on underwriting a while ago. And so we also want this underwriting group to also help as they review potential underwriters to make sure that the funders align with our mission, the credibility of the applicant, and just kind of overall impact of the funding. We're also looking for individuals to volunteer for a CPB compliance group. One of the things that we received in a letter regarding the denial of our CPB application this past year was that we have some items that were sent to us from the CPB in March of 2013 and also in 2020, and then they reiterated some of those concerns in 2023, that there are some things that we need to comply with in order to get back on track with our CPB compliance. So we're hoping that there are some individuals who are willing to work with us to bring us back into compliance, and then we can remain in compliance for a year before we're eligible to apply for future CPB funding. Knowing the importance of getting our programming improved in some places and therefore increasing our listenership, we are also putting together a working group that will be grid review. And what they will be doing is working with the program directors, working with the general managers, working with the local programming committees to help review and create an assessment of the programming that we have. And what we want to do is just be able to do a lot of outreach with our listeners. We've had a volunteer already send a great outline for a survey that can be sent out to individuals that we can put also on our website so people can click on it. That will provide a lot of a good understanding of our target audience, trying to keep our listeners engaged, and also getting community feedback so we can try to create those dynamic and successful schedules that we need that can resonate with our audience, you know, thereby increasing our membership, our listeners, and our financial support. Very close working with this group will be another working team that will be focusing on program sharing. And what we want to do is be able to have individuals who are eager and willing to listen to quite a few programs throughout our network and also throughout our affiliate network, reviewing a lot of the programs that we have on Audio Court to help identify and evaluate any sort of existing programming that we have that can be shared across the network or between specific stations. So we're hoping that a lot of these working teams can get more people involved and personnel involved at the stations to help us move forward, again, with raising additional funds through underwriting, getting us back in compliance with CPB, and helping take a really close look at our current programming to make sure that we are giving our programmers and our listeners the tools that they need to succeed. So if anybody is interested in volunteering, they can reach out to me at eb@pacifica.org. Anybody have any questions?
Hold on. Let me just say there is a second EV report in the closed session. Okay, I heard Myla, and I heard, was that Lyndon wanting
it
to
was.
Speak? Okay, Myla, was that you?
I did, and I thought I was muted, and you didn't hear me, but apparently I wasn't muted. So at any rate, I do have a question, and it has to do with the survey. It's my understanding that KPFA recently undertook a survey, and as many as 9,000 listener members of KPFA responded. It was a very extensive survey about the programming. Are you referring to that survey? If you're not, are you familiar with their success with that programming survey that they recently undertook?
I am not familiar with that survey, so I will reach out to that station to try to get the details from the general manager and their programming department on that. But someone that was listening to a town hall that I was speaking at recently, or CAB meeting, I'm sorry, that I was speaking at recently, gave me a draft of a survey that they had been working on for quite some time in the New York area. But thanks.
Great.
I will be.
This is Christina. I can get that to you, Stephanie.
Great. Thank you.
Sure.
All right. I'm calling on Lyndon.
Thank you, Chair. Stephanie, my question is the on the loan update, is the total loan interest past due of $630,000, is that in addition to the total loan payoff number, or is that included in the total loan payoff number?
That is not included in the total loan payoff number.
Okay, thank you. And congratulations on Pacifica being in the pink or or positive for the first quarter.
Thanks. Is there anyone else for the staff?
I'm out of the staff.
Okay, Kamal, go ahead.
Quick question on the underwriting. So I guess the underwriting would not be handled locally. What kind of, could you give me how each station would step through that process, or is that still something that needs to be developed by this working group?
The underwriting is being handled locally, and we have some stations that are doing it successfully, and we have a lot of guidance just based upon the PNB motion that was passed. But what we want to do is be able to provide support so we have consistency with the underwriting policies, even though, again, it's spelled out pretty clearly within the motion. But we just want to be able to provide support to make sure that the stations are doing that they feel comfortable and supported by individuals that are helping review any potential underwriters, also suggesting potential underwriters within their communities. I'm hoping that I can get representation from each of the stations, and also that we can have another group that takes a look at the underwriters in case it's an underwriting group that may be willing to do more than just sponsor the station, but maybe they're willing to put in a little bit more funding and sponsor one or two stations. So if we have a program that is working on one area that we can then, if it's a company or an organization that is not just localized to that neighborhood, then we can discuss with them the possibility of doing a bigger underwriting package. So it's really just to be able to provide some extra brainstorming and feedback to the stations that are doing the underwriting process.
Okay, so it wouldn't be a situation. Yeah, do I get a follow-up if I could?
Go ahead, Kamal.
Great, thank you. So then it wouldn't be a situation where you would locally be engaging a potential underwriter and then sending that complete deal up to the group for review before it's implemented, or is that kind of what your thought process is there?
Well, I want to be able to have clear outline and kind of a basic assessment of, does this underwriter fit into our guidelines? Because I said we have some groups that are doing underwriting already, and I want to make sure that the scripting and the scripts are being approved by our compliance person and then also myself. So if we have any issues or concerns with an underwriting statement that is going over the air that is out of compliance, that will then be the fault of myself and our compliance officer, because we will have reviewed it and signed it off. So we're wanting to make sure that we just have consistency, because now there, are some scripts that are going out, and then they may not be, they're following FCC guidelines, but they're just kind of random, and not a lot of eyes are looking at them. So we really just want to be able to provide extra support and consistency across the network.
Gotcha. Thank you.
And
this is Milo with
Minerva.
Hold on.
This is Minerva. I have a question.
Who is next? Whose voice is that?
This is Minerva. I have a question.
Okay.
And I have a follow-up. After Minerva.
Milo, let me put you on the stack in order with everybody else.
Calm down.
Myla and Minerva on the stack. Let's just take a little breath. Anybody else like to be on the stack at this time? Okay, we've got two. Myla, go ahead.
I think I'm after Minerva.
All right. Thank you. Minerva, go ahead.
All right. Thank both of you. Stephanie, this information about underwriting, you said that this was put together by the PNB last year, maybe it's been a while back. Would this have gone to the LSB or just direct to the station for them to start working with this? Because I began hearing about this underwriting probably about 5 or 6 months ago, but I just need to know, would it have come through the LSB or just gone straight to the GM and PD or the staff?
The original motion on underwriting was presented to the PNB, and someone can correct me, of course, if I'm wrong. I believe a year ago it was passed, possibly even longer. And then when motions are passed, that is usually the responsibility of the local directors on the PNB to make sure that information is dispersed to the LSBs. We've sent information out to the general managers, and we sent the motion out again recently to various PDs who had not seen it or weren't familiar with it or couldn't find it in their emails.
Okay, so I've been on the LSB for WPFW for a few years now, but I don't remember this document coming to us. How would I go about getting a copy of it so that we can make sure the LSB has it and we can work with the station to see what's being done with it?
I know that the guidelines and the motion was just recently sent to your program director, who requested it last month.
Okay, so for us to get a copy of it, we need to go to the program director for the LSB.
Or your directors that were sitting on the board last year who would have access to the motions that were passed.
Okay, and I guess taking it a little bit further, I can also myself as a director go into the archives or wherever to find those minutes to find that document. Is what I'm also getting. And this isn't to you, Stephanie, but anybody that's part of this meeting that is on the PNB. Am I making a correct statement there?
If I understand you correctly, Minerva, yes, you would be able to, go in and search. The thing is, they're not easily findable. I could try to find my own and send it to you. And I will say that this very issue of where are the motions that have passed the PNB, where the heck are they, is something that is going to be addressed almost immediately at the PNB. So thank you for giving me an excellent example.
Chair, this is your timekeeper. We're almost 2 minutes over.
All right. Thank you very much.
We need to get more time.
Okay. Stephanie,
reply to Minerva as well, as I just forwarded to her an underwriting rules memo that was forwarded to their to WPFW's program director in just last week, again, that kind of goes over the Pacifica on-air underwriting regulations for nonprofit radio and then the approved underwriting motion from the PNB that was so I just forwarded that to you, Minerva.
All right. Thank you, everyone, for your help, and thank you, Stephanie.
No problem.
Thank you, Stephanie. Are there any we're going to have to extend time if there's anyone else on the stack for this portion of our time with Stephanie. Is there anyone who wants to be on the stack?
Yes.
This is Lyndon. I move that we extend to exhaust the stack.
All right. And who is on the stack? Because I'm Myla. Out of people. All right. Myla.
Can you hear me? Oh, great. Okay.
Myla. Myla is next. Lyndon, were you going to ask to be on the stack as well?
No, I have a motion to extend time to exhaust the stack.
Thank you very much. Is there any objection to Lyndon's motion to exhaust the stack? With no objection, the only person left on the stack is Myla. Go ahead.
Very quickly, this is probably obvious to everyone. I'm circling back on the to circling back to talk about the survey, and I just wanted to make the suggestion, which is probably obvious to everybody, that it's always a good idea to ask for money, even if the money wouldn't be required, people wouldn't be required to pay in order to take the survey, but we can always ask for money in whatever communication we have. And I'm sure you're well aware of that, Stephanie. That's all.
Always nice to have the reminder. Thank you.
Thank you. We are now at the end of the stack for the ED Q&A, but now we go into the executive director's report on the first quarter combined financials. Again, Stephanie, take it away.
Okay. So there's a couple of ways when you look at the consolidated financials, particularly when it's one quarter at a time, is that not only to look at the general overall numbers, but then also to break it down by the monthly average. And that's I'll read the numbers to you during that monthly average, but if someone just wants to, you know, look at it or figure it out themselves, if you go down to the total revenue for October, November, December of that first quarter and just highlight it in Excel, you get at the bottom of your screen the average for those 3 months. So I know that it varies from month to month based upon when there are fund drives, but it does at that point kind of make it a little bit easier to understand. So when you look at the total consolidated financials, we had from everyone, and another thing to take into consideration is that I know that there are still probably some revisions or adjustments that are going to be coming in from some of the stations. The general managers have had a chance to take a look at this. Not everybody has come back with any sort of comments or adjustments, but I know that there will most likely be some of the stations that will be sending out some slight adjustments. So that has happened in the past when we send out the consolidated financials. And once those adjustments are made, we send them back again to the National Finance Committee. So anytime we have any sort of change or adjustment, we will let you know and then highlight what that is. So if you look at the general revenue for the total foundation, we had in the first quarter a revenue of $3,167,966. We had expenses during the same period of $2,056,131 for a net of $1,111,835. Now, one thing to take into consideration as you look at that first tab for consolidated is that you have to, we show under the central service line items, which is lines 35 down, shows you exactly what was received. This is really the only page that kind of the central service section sort of makes sense, is that you see from lines 34 through 38, the amount of central services received from the stations, which was 35,652. So being that is the only amount that was received from the stations, we have a loss, which is the central services line item of 38, of $316,482 of unpaid central services, which then brings our net to $795,353. When you break it down, as I was saying, if you figure out that average for those 3 months, we were averaging $1,055,989 in revenue. We had monthly average expenses of $687,377. We had an average income loss from no central service payments of $105,494, which then gave our net revenue at the end of this first quarter of $263,118. So when you break it down by each of the divisions, we can start off with the Pacifica affiliate network if we're just going through those tabs. And we have the revenue for the Pacifica affiliates network for this first quarter was $100,702. They had expenses this first quarter of $54,913. for their net income at the end of this quarter of $45,789. So they were averaging roughly $33,500 in revenue, $18,000 in expenses, for a net income average of $15,262. As you look at the financials, it varies with their revenue because they have different billing cycles for when they're sending out their bills from their for the affiliate stations. As we go to the archives, they had a revenue of the first quarter of $24,893. They had expenses for the first quarter of $70,222 for a net loss during this first quarter of $45,329. So they are averaging a monthly income of approximately $8,631. They are averaging a monthly expense of $23,408, and they are losing approximately $14,777 a month.
Well,
if we move on to KPFK, there might be some KPFA. There might be some changes with KPFA. So their business manager accountant is taking a look at that. So there may be this may be the one section where there's some revisions. But again, we will let you know when that happens. Their total revenue for the first quarter was $1,825,203. They had expenses of during this first quarter of $828,744 for a net income of $996,459. Broken down on a monthly basis, we have they were averaging approximately $608,401 per month. They had expenses each month of approximately $276,248, which then had their average net revenue each month of $332,153. If we move on to KPFK, their first quarter, we had a revenue of $331,900. We had they had expenses during that first quarter of $256,939 for a net income at the end of the first quarter of $74,961. Now, here's where it's kind of important that you start looking at things on a monthly basis, and there may be some changes with this as well. There was some other revenue that the general manager has pointed out to us that needs to be divided up or wasn't recorded. I know that they received some car donations and they had some community events, but that revenue wasn't shared with us. So we're still working with them on getting those reports. So there may be some changes on this page as well. On average per month, it was $110,663 in revenue, $85,646 in expenses for a net of $25,017. So although they've made great progress, and I appreciate that, one of the things we need to take into consideration is if you look at the revenue, it varies again throughout the months. One month was $135,000, one month was $77,000, one month was $118,000, based again upon when they're having their fund drives. But one of the things you have to look at when you're looking at that monthly is that they also have quite a few aged payables that we are trying to catch up on. So we have utility bills, we have health insurance, we have phone bills, there's some past due premium costs, there's some shipping costs, there's power repairs. So although we are in an increase with the amount of money that's coming in, the cash flow isn't we're always very tight because we have a lot of aged payables that we're attempting to pay off that don't always match the amount of income that's coming in. If we move on to WBAI, we have end of the quarter revenue of $254,062. We have expenses of $266,550 for a net loss of $12,488.
When you break that down per month, it's averaging $84,687 per month of revenue, $88,840 per month in expenses, for a net loss per month of a little over $4,000, $4,163. And again, when you look at it on that per monthly basis, there's, again, these aged payables that we're trying to catch up on that just keep accruing, which involve health insurance, building rent, which we did catch up on, so we are completely caught up on the building rent, but we have an excessive bill that is on tower rent and old phone bills as well as health insurance and some payroll. So that's where some, you know, that's when you look at it monthly, the cash flow, it becomes a little difficult. With WPFW, they averaged at the end of the first quarter with a revenue of $379,742. They ended the quarter with the expenses of $341,635 for a net income at the end of the quarter of $38,107. On monthly, again, it varies. If you take a look at the revenue, it was very heavy in October based on fund drives. They had $237,000 that they raised in October, but then in November and December, it was $79,000 and $63,000. But on average, per month, it was $126,581 in revenue, $113,878 in expenses, and $12,703, which was their net income. So the average monthly expenses for all of the stations are basically kind of the same. So when you have certain months that bring in more, they have to make sure that money is saved and set aside so they can cover those expenses on those months where the revenue isn't coming in. So although that they have been, you know, they were making a profit during this first quarter, one of the things, again, that you have to take into consideration that WPFW has an extensive amount of building rent that is passed to tower rent, health insurance, and also tower utilities. So again, even though they have a revenue of that $12,000 that's coming in every month as net, the bills far outweigh that. If we look at KPFT, we have at the end of the first quarter a revenue of $170,157. We have expenses that first quarter of $111,845. For a net profit at the end of the first quarter of $58,312. When you break it down monthly, that is equivalent to revenue of $56,719 per month. Again, a little more heavy in October. Monthly expenses stay around the same, maybe $37,282, but they are making a little under $20,000, $19,437 per month in profit. The national office, they were averaging at the end of, or at the end of the first quarter, $85,307 in revenue. They also received $35,652 in central services from the from the affiliates and also from KPFT that first quarter. Expenses were $125,283 for a loss at the end of the quarter of $4,324. When you break it down monthly, it's averaging $28,436 in income or revenue, $11,884 in central service payments. The expenses per month are $41,761 for a monthly loss of $1,441. I'm sure there are questions.
R. Paul for stat.
Go ahead, R. Paul.
Okay. We're going to, of course, be going over this more than once in the future, I'm certain. And could I say that the presentation is a little problematical in terms of being able to follow? Because there are a number of times when you went through it and lost me because, you know, it would be good if you gave, like, road numbers, you know. You know, you said before on the consolidated lines 34, let me get back, 34 to 38, and it was very hard to follow because it went so fast. But at least there were lines there. In the others, we're not getting the lines, and it just goes so fast. So obviously we're all going to have to pour over this stuff for the next number of weeks. But if we could just give line numbers for everything, that would really be helpful, because skipping around all that fast is difficult to process the information. Thank you.
Zach?
Yes, who's speaking?
Paul.
Paul, go ahead.
Paul D. Yeah, I would, in the same vein, I would like to see some of this material in like a visual format, like a graph format that compared it, so I could see like a bar graph or a pie chart or something. I'm more visual, and my eyes aren't what they used to be, so it would be really helpful if I could see it in bright colors in a bar graph sort of format, if that's doable. Thanks.
Lyndon for the stack.
I hear Lyndon for the stack. Wait, hold on, Lyndon. Was there another voice at the same time for the stack?
Yes, this All is right. Kamau for the stack.
Okay, Lyndon, and then Kamau for the stack. Go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. I didn't have any problem following this. I mean, we only talked about the total revenue, the total operating expenses, and then the central services. And I had looked at it previously and put in a formula. So I had the total revenues for the year-to-date actuals less the total operating expenses for the year-to-date. So I knew what those numbers were. Now, on the consolidated tab, on line 35, you'll see the 11,844. And then on the for central services and on the P&O, tab for central services on line 27, you'll see 11,844. And I do want to point out that if you go to the KPFT tab on line 27, central services, you will see that same 11,884. So that's KPFT that is paying those. I'd also like to look at the column T, line 10 on the KPFA tab. And perhaps, I don't know if we want to talk about that in closed session or not, but that's something I am interested in. And I'm also wanted to comment on something that Stephanie said, and it's in the payable section also, that it's just unbelievable to me that, you know, we have stations that aren't paying the rent, aren't paying the tower rent, and not paying their health insurance. I mean, what else is there, guys? Thank you for your time.
Do you have any response, Stephanie?
I will definitely add a budget narrative when these are reviewed, so people can read along rather than having to go through each of the tabs, and then I'll cross-reference to the column or the cell that it refers to. Some of the monthly breakdowns are just average that I do on the Excel spreadsheets. They're not necessarily there in a cell, but just formulas that I create off to the side, and I'm always happy to make colorful graphs.
That is kind of you, Stephanie, and appreciated. That brings us to Kamau on the stack.
Thank you. Stephanie, the ED report, the PDF, indicates Bernstein Companies for WPFW at 70,000. Is there a state of outstanding for that number? Because, well, what's the data? I know that the report data is 326. What's the actual date?
I need to get those numbers from your business manager as to what the update of the payables are, because I know that there was some money that was paid recently, but I don't have the total dollar amount of what was due.
Okay.
So this is based upon the last information that I received on what had been paid.
My second question then would be on the financials themselves, and I'd be willing to assist with this if necessary. I do think we should add some metrics, gross margin, you know, things along that nature, where we can actually see, you know, compared to the consolidated total, kind of whose margins are on the plus, who needs to work on their margins, things like that, and kind of where the expense lines, which expense lines are really driving us into the red in each local station. It stands out in the numbers, but I think to some of these points that might have been Lyndon, someone said earlier, I think it would add a little color to, pun intended there, a little color to the reporting if we had some metrics to kind of guide us. And that would kind of work as maybe a cover sheet or a cover tab to the report that would assist us in kind of just an overall summary. So just some feedback there. Thank you.
Anyone else for the SPAC? Well, that being said, since we have no other old business or new business at the moment, I would say that since it's 9:45 and 9:46, and we tried for a 9:45 end time, I would ask if there is any objection to moving into executive session. All right, hearing no objection and being pretty much on time, I am going to get us off the stream and into executive session.